Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. In his message titled, Do As I Do, Reverend David Williams tells us that the Lord wants us to live a certain way as we travel on the path of life. He has provided this knowledge through the Bible, and his Son provided an example. But of all the things that God wants us to do, the most important is loving one another. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we gather together today, we gather as people who really want to know what it is we believe. We want to have a framework. We want to have an understanding. We want to have this set of concepts that governs how we live. It's a basic yearning of faith to find that pattern, to have that knowledge. But there's a danger in it. And that danger is that we can get so wrapped up in the thing that we are thinking about that we don't actually deal with our path in life. We start obsessing over ideas, we start obsessing over things, and we forget to walk and live that way. All of us do this, so now let's all of us admit it. Let's join together in the prayer of confession that's printed in the bulletin. Please pray it with me. Gracious and loving God, we know your Spirit moves in us and works to transform us. We sense the growth of your Spirit in moments here and there, and yet our lives are a cluttered thicket of other demands. Hunger for stuff rises in us. Desire for power and success crowds out the light. Unresolved angers and sorrows lay down deep roots. These things choke out the life you're trying to create in us. We speak our hope for that life, but too often we forget to actually live it. For our inattention to our growth in grace, forgive us, Lord. In Christ's name, forgive us. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. You can follow along on page 108 of your Pew New Testament. Let us now listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus says, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me and will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are things we believe about ourselves. There are ways we come into understanding who we are. Statements we can make that are affirmative about our nature. I am this. I am that. I am fill in the blank. I am a husband. I am a father. We can say these things and trust that they have some truth in them. There are things we believe about ourselves that we can speak out, and you know, the truth of them is in their reality. I cannot say, I am left-handed, because I am not. I cannot say, I am fabulously fashion-forward, because I am really not. Our statements about ourselves are rooted in who we are in the world. And then there are these things that we believe are true about ourselves, that we want to believe, that may or may not be true. For years and years, I believed with certainty that I would be good if I ever tried it. At the martial art of Aikido, I was sure that in myself somewhere there was an Aikido master, to the point where I'd almost believe it about myself. You know, it's like I am just this undiscovered master of the not that ancient art of Aikido, which, if you don't know it, it's this martial art it's not a standard mixed martial art. You know, I think if you get two Aikido masters and you put them in a ring, mostly they're just polite to each other. You know, it doesn't make for entertaining watching. It's sort of like Tai Chi, and then it's all about energies, and it's a little bit like Judo in that the goal of Aikido is to use another's energy and aggression to defeat itself. So you just sort of politely put someone on the ground. It's like, that is your anger there with you. It's a, you know, it's a little Jedi-ish, and you know, that was not the standing position you were looking for. You just lying there on the ground. So I was sure, because it had the right feel. You know, this is just the perfect martial art for a pastor to learn. And so for years, I would have that plan. I'm going to take Aikido classes. I'm going to go do this thing, because I know I'm going to be good at it. I'm sure of it. Of course I would be. And then, you know, you work all the time. You don't have time to do that, and you get a little older, and then the kids come along, and there's not enough time for their, you know, you got their taekwondo and their piano and their drums, there's not enough time to go do it. But the plan got modified. I am going to take my sons, my oldest son in this case, the only one who cares about things like that, and we together are going to go learn Aikido, and it's going to be this father and son bonding experience. You know, I'll say, you know, you are my son, come with me. And it'll be, you know, one of those things where we both develop incredible Jedi powers, only without the Skywalker family drama. And so eventually it happened. You know, my son got big enough to go do this with me, and we go and we find this dojo where I can unleash these powers that I know have been there. And it's exactly the right kind of thing, because Aikido is not for kids. It's not, you know, your little ninja after school thing. It's, you know, focused and adult and all that stuff. So we find this little dojo in a, you know, it's exactly where it needed to be, in this warehouse complex, you know, and you drive there in the dead of night, and there it would be, sort of back in the room, exactly where you expect ninja masters to be living. And we go there, and, you know, we get our outfits, and we get ready to go do the most basic things, which is falling. It's always falling. It's the first thing you need to know. And we went through the principles and the stretching exercises, and, you know, the instructor's like, all right, now flexibility is vital if you're going to do this. You have to be nimble. So he would bend over, and he's, you know, he's putting his elbows on the ground from a standing position. He's like, now touch your toes. And I'm stretching down. It's like, those are your knees. Go a little bit further, just a little. And so we work on that for a little bit, you know, the sort of trying to stretch your legs into the open L shape, and they're totally in a split, and I'm making, you know, like one of those less than symbols, and it's a little less than what he's doing. And now we get to the first exercise, which is to learn to fall, because, you know, you're focusing your chi or something, and it's supposed to come out your little finger, and you're rolling around this perfect circle that you're inscribing. And so the instructor goes to the mat and rolls, and it's just this perfect smooth motion. He's up, all right, just do the same thing I did, make that circle. And so I go thump thump, and he's like, no, that's a square, you know, that was a square moving. And so I get up, and he does the motion again, and I'm like, all right, now I'm gonna do it. And it's like thump thump. He's like, no, that was a triangle. And are you all right? And I wasn't, actually. I was not all right. I was lying on the ground, and my son was going. And this was the point where I realized that belief about myself was not real. I was not doing the thing. I was not rolling. I was thumping. And I was feeling my back. And I was feeling my lower back and upper back. And I wasn't that thing, because I was not able to do the thing that I was being taught. We tried it for about a month. And then, unfortunately, my son's schedule was so very busy that we had to find other things to do. So I was, gosh, we're going to have to stop, said I. Having realized that belief was not reinforced by reality, it was not a path that I could follow. It was not a path that I could pursue. And it was not the person I was. Jesus, here in John's Gospel, talks about a particular way, a particular path, a particular discipline that he is trying to teach those who've gathered around him. And this place we find ourselves in John's Gospel is at the beginning of the end of his narrative, his story of who Jesus was. We go back into John 13 before we get into these verses, and we hear that Jesus has gathered people around for that last meal. The section comes right after John's story of the Last Supper. And what he has done is to show them and teach them the one thing they all have to do if they're going to really, truly be able to say with their voices, I am your disciple. I follow your way. And that one thing is love each other. chapter 13 starts with, he's with them to show them that he loves them, to show them that that is the person he is. And then again and again he says, if you want to be my disciples, love each other. And then to show what that means in chapter 13, he gets down on his knees and he washes their feet. A humble act of service. They still don't exactly know what's going on. And then Judas goes off on his errand. And they sit with him. And he talks and he answers questions. And it is those questions we come to here. They know something is happening. He's telling them something big is about to happen. I am trying to give you what you're going to need to know to carry on this path. And so he begins for us, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then says, you can go where I'm going. You know the way. And they're not sure that they do. They're struggling with it. Thomas in particular. It's always Thomas with his questions. Thomas saying, no, we really don't. We don't know exactly what you're talking about. We're trying to understand. We're trying to understand all of these complex things that you've told us and all of these stories and all of these images. We're not sure. How do we know what we're supposed to do? There's a very simple answer that Jesus gives. That answer is, I am the way. I am this path. How do you know what it is? How do you know what you're supposed to do? You know that by looking at me and my actions. Look at what I have done with you. I'm here, I'm washing your feet, I'm giving you care, I am showing and manifesting my love for you. That, I think, is the biggest challenge we have as Christians, as people who want to follow his path. Because what we want to hear, what is somehow easier for us, is for this journey, this path, this thing that Jesus is teaching to exist as an abstraction. We want it to be this set of ideas that we sort of think about, or a nice sequence of checkboxes that we can work our way through. That is really very straightforward. All we've got to do is say, well, do we go to the right church? Presbyterian, yes it is, the right church to go to. Do we read our creeds and believe them, that they are absolutely, well, yes, we do. You know, do we have regularly scheduled meetings that are decently and orderly done? Yes, in fact, we do, and they're brief and efficient, which is awesome. We want to believe that certain things we hold to be true are what mean we're following the path. Jesus is saying that it's more than that. It is the specifics of how you live. How do you live in such a way? How do you act in such a way that your whole life embodies that path? That's what those who followed him struggled with. That's why they wrestled. They wanted to believe it was something else. And I think to a certain extent we do too, because just holding that idea lets us off. It's easy to just say, well, I've got this idea, and this idea actually isn't the same as your idea, so I'm going to spend all our time fighting about these two different things we hold in our minds instead of walking that path that Jesus taught, which is an embodied love. How do you know you walk that way? You know it because you are manifesting it in your life. How do you know you are acting as a servant? You're living it out. each of us have to face that as a real challenge as we are out and engaged in the relationships of our life. How do you know that you're walking the way? Other people see it in you. Ask yourself that as you move through this week, as you move through your life. Where do you stand in an encounter so that people who are looking for something will know that you are walking the path that Jesus taught? Are you serving them? Are you caring for them? Are you building them up? Are you supporting them? Are you sustaining them? If they've got muck on them, are you cleaning it off? If their Minecraft book is torn, are you taping it? There's so many ways that we can make that path known, living out the love that Jesus put at the heart of all that he did. As you seek that path, as you walk that way, and as you struggle, I don't know. How do I know? We do know, because we have this witness, and because we together are that witness. That is the greater thing, the greater work that Jesus calls us all to. To be his body, his grace, his path embodied right here in a world that often says, I don't know him, I don't know you, how do we know? Be the one that teaches that path in all that you do and say. And let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Jesus talks to us about being the way, about being the truth and the light. And when he describes that, he's not talking about something that we're supposed to hold in our minds as an abstraction. He's not talking about something we're supposed to just think about. He's talking about a way of living. He's talking about who he was as a person. And what he's challenging all of us to do is to walk that way ourselves, to let our love be known in the world as he let it be known to his disciples, to the estranged, to the broken, to the struggling. That is the way he teaches. As we go out into the world and try to walk that path, keep that light in front of you. Let that grace, that love, that service define everything that you do. Because that is why we're here. And by here, I don't just mean here in church. That's why we're here. Go out and live into that purpose. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.